I thought the best way to do it would be to first give a little bit of an introduction of who we are and where we're coming from. People always sort of asking, well, you know, you're Spanish? Well, I'm not Spanish, but my wife is. And then, you know, people sort of wonder, well, how did you meet? Where did you get married? Well, I was in Argentina. And so where are you from? Well, I'm from Brisbane. And, you know, how did you get to Spain? And where's your commanding assembly? Well, it's in Perth. You know, how do you sort of fit all these things together? Well, I thought it would best be to just share my testimony and also how, just very briefly, how God worked all those complicated things out and got us where we are now, doing what we are now. And Manoli's also going to share her testimony, similarly, of how God, where she comes from and how God got her also into full-time Christian work, which wasn't my doing. I mean, she was there a long time before me, and I think she was a bit more open to God's leading than myself. It took me quite a long time to even to wake up that there was a God. And then the second session would be to explain a little bit about the work, what we're doing, the strategy, some of the goals, and of course, you know, have time for any questions or any interaction that you might want to have. And then this evening to have some slides with a message. So first, I'd like to just share my testimony and just say that I'm from Brisbane, born in, yes? I'll get the kids out, okay? If any of the adults want to leave also. Okay. Probably have to put it down a little bit. I'm from Brisbane and from a Christian home. My father was a Baptist minister. He's retired now. But so I was brought up in a church, in a Sunday school, in a youth work, in a youth group. And yet from a, you know, very early age, deciding, along with I've got a twin brother, both of us decided that this whole Christianity thing wasn't for us. And we rebelled completely from perhaps 12 years, 11 years. And as soon as we could get out of church, get out of school, away from home, and just completely went our own way. Now, in my case, that was I actually did a cabinet making apprenticeship and finished it. I look back now and just thank God that my parents were still insisted enough to, you know, to get me, to encourage me to, you know, to finish that, because later on that's come in very handy for the sort of work that we are doing, as I'll be explaining. But then I left home and just wasted most of my time on the beach, in the water, surfing. Just trying to have a good time, getting mixed up with the wrong people, traveling. As soon as I could get a van fitted out as a, you know, for somewhere to live, and just travel around, visiting all the beaches. I would have come through here through Adelaide on the way over to Western Australia, and eventually to Margaret River, which is where I ended up by the age of 19, going on 20. And by that time, beginning to realised that I was beginning to realise that things weren't working out how I planned them to work out. I was quite mixed up in drugs, and realising that it wasn't really doing me good. The surfing, which was, I lived for surfing for so many years, wasn't satisfying me either. I was trying to get into some sort of, or find meaningful relationships, getting involved in different sort of community situations and with different friends. Again, finding that you know, people are not what they make themselves out to be, nor was I. And finding out that I couldn't really trust anybody, really wondering where my friends, true friends were. And began to ask myself whether there perhaps wasn't a God. and began to look. I got involved again with different people in a lot of different experiences and groups, religious groups, and tried quite a lot of different things. I mean, if anyone wants to sort of get religious, there's a lot of, there's a big smorgasbord, especially here in Australia, of things to get involved in. And yet, all the time, realizing that, that I hadn't found God. I mean, there was religion, there's people saying, well, you know, this is what you have to do, and this is where you have to look, and this is how you do it. But no one doing that, there was no having come to know that I found God. And yet, I could look back and just see that the God was looking for me. And the God was responding to a desire that I had in my heart to find Him, to really find whether there was a God, whether God could help me. And so God, as He always does, He puts the people in the right places at the right time. And I started getting involved in with some people who were involved with the young people's group in the Bedford Assembly in Perth. And they encouraged me to start reading the Bible for myself, and I began to get challenged by Jesus and what He was saying. And as I shared the other day here in the school, it was the verse John 14:6 which really challenged me, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." Now, I believe that all religions, by that time, I believe they all got there. They, you know, just in different ways, but they all were basically the same. And yet Jesus, it really struck me that Jesus was saying, "Well, I'm the only way." So I thought, well, this guy, you know, he's right, or he's really wrong. You know, the two don't go together. And again, Jesus was saying, you know, I was looking for life, I was looking for God, I was looking for the truth, and Jesus wasn't saying, well, this is what you have to do. He was saying, I am. And that sort of encouraged me. And of course, there were people there who were willing to just spend time and go through all those questions and all those things that I was trying to work through. And I got to the point where I decided to make a head commitment to Christianity to try it. And I was in a group of people at that time where we were all involved in different religions. We used to meet every night, and we used to share what we were learning on the understanding or the belief that all religions got there. And so if we sort of pooled what we were learning, we'd get there quicker. And so we decided that we sort of get committed, each of us, to different religions, and then share in the group every night what we're learning, so that we sort of, you know, get there quicker. So I decided to commit myself to Christianity for a while, to give it a go, to try it, to learn, share to the rest of the group what I was learning, and then when I've learned it all, go on to something else. And so I made a commitment, even though I didn't really understand or really believe everything, but yet I wanted to really come to grips with it. And about 2 weeks later, I went to another little assembly in Perth, where there was just a few old people having the Lord's Supper. The morning meeting, I was sitting up the back, just watching and wondering, well, you know, really, what's the meaning of this? What does it mean? And God just at that time just opened my eyes and just understood that they were remembering the death of the Son of God who came and died for me because I was a sinner. And then I realized then I had to ask Him forgiveness and give my heart to Him and give Him my life and ask Him into my heart. And that was when things just changed dramatically. That's when I knew for the first time that God was alive, that He was in my heart. And then suddenly I noticed a lot of changes. I suddenly wanted to just to read and read the Bible. I wanted to get to know Him better. I wanted to follow Him, whereas before, just living for myself, I wanted to live for Him. And many people will ask me, well, you know, where did your missionary call come from? Well, it came from that day of getting converted, where I just automatically you know, realized that, you know, if Jesus has given His life for me, then I need to give my life to Him. And I've wasted my life up until now, and I want to live the rest of it for Him, wherever that would be, whatever that would mean. And so right from the beginning, I began to look for opportunities to get involved in some sort of ministry or ways of being useful for Jesus. First thing I did was to go back to the group of people, the group of fellows that I was meeting with, and tell them that they're all wrong, and they thought I'd been brainwashed. And I stayed with them actually for some time, again just sharing with them what I understood from the Bible, And I can't say that they all got converted, but at least two or three of them got converted, some then and others later on, from that group. And then I felt that God wanted me to go back home. My home, my family is back in Brisbane, and to, on the way back, to try and visit all of the people that, or as I could, the one that I sort of got messed up or wrong involved with, especially the ones I sort of sold drugs to or whatever, and just to tell them about the gospel. So I had the opportunity of making that trip back with a friend who I'd spent most of my younger years with, and I'd come over to Perth with, and he wasn't a Christian, but he decided to make the trip back with me, and he got converted on the way back in the middle of Nullarbor. That was a quite interesting situation, just sharing in the breakfast just how God can use difficult situations for his glory. I mean, I went across Nullarbor the first time in an old car that only had five cylinders working, half working. We had no problems, but when we came back we had quite a new car. And yet it didn't get us back. Everything went wrong. I mean, the radio broke down as soon as we got on the Nullarbor, so we didn't have music. The sort of the setup we had on the back, where we had our luggage and that, it all fell apart, so we sort of didn't really have anywhere to sleep. We got a flat tire, and then the jack broke, and we had to, you know, flag our car down to get another jack to change the tire. And then a little bit later on, the engine blew up. And looking at the engine, they heard another tyre go flat, so it was just a typical, everything that could go wrong went wrong, right in the middle. And yet, as we had to stay several nights there, sort of just sleeping there in the desert, and waiting for a semi to come along and take the car off. And yet, you know, that night, my friend, he started asking questions. And he says, you know, I've been watching you, and he says, you know, you've changed, because, you know, if this would have happened before, you'd have picked up an axe and got stuck into that car, you know, you would have been so angry, and you're not, you know, you're different. And he got converted, you know, that night in the middle of the Nullarbor. And so, as I got back to home, decided to get baptized there and give testimony to my friends who sort of had known me there. My twin brother, by the way, got converted also at about the same time. He was in Brisbane and I was in Perth. So we had a really good time together and started getting stuck into the young people there. And, you know, really saw a lot of blessing. But all the time, I was looking for opportunities to get some sort of training or get involved in ministry. I went to different places and I was really finding it difficult to find out where really to get started, you know. Perhaps a Bible college, or was looking perhaps getting involved in Christian communities or whatever. And yet a year later, after getting converted, God opened up a door to get some training with Operation Mobilization. Maybe you've heard of that group, which sort of seeks to facilitate the training of young people, especially in short-term missionary training. And so I went to, I wanted to go, I was interested in India, and I went to join OM to get some training in India. I never got to India. I had to go to England first to go to their main sort of training session there. And they told me I was too young a Christian to go to India. I had to do a year first on one of their ships, which was the Dulos, and end up staying 3 years on the ship, which was mainly in South America. So spent 3 years in South America, working with the ship, working evangelism, getting training, on-the-job training, with with the ship, which was a very, very good situation. Looking back, one of the main things, you know, I think that really, again, was a turning point in my life, was to go for the first time to a third world country, was Mexico, and just to see how people live, actually how most of the world lives outside of Australia. Just to see the response to the gospel, the interest to spiritual things, the needs, and just how, as a young person with very little training or experience, how you could be used, how God could use you. In South America, as you probably heard from, Jeff Thompson when sharing, you can get in some of these countries and go on the street and start preaching and you get 50, 100 people listening to you and really listening. And, you can call for a response and you'll get at least half of them making a decision. Whether how real that decision is, that's for God to decide, but there's a response, there's an interest. There's not a need for sophisticated workers to get involved in what God is doing there. And that was a real eye-opener. It was a real eye-opener just to be with Christians from many other countries, just to hear what's going on, to see what's going on, to find out about the needs. That to me was what really convinced me to, on top of my commitment, my initial commitment to Jesus Christ, to follow Him, that convinced me of my commitment to world missions, to get involved in working in another country. I really just felt I couldn't go back to Australia after having seen and heard and experienced what I had and just live there knowing really what is going on or not going on in the rest of the world. There's such a need, such a need. And I think if anything that we could do just at this time today, if it can be just to help share a little bit of the vision and the needs of what there is and what there isn't in other countries, I think that's going to be positive. That's where we met. I think maybe I'll leave that to Manoli, perhaps, to share a little bit about that. But she'd already been quite involved with OM for many years, been in India and on the ships. And we met in Uruguay, to just have a sort of mental picture of South America. And we got engaged in Peru and got married in Argentina, just to make life interesting. And then we went to Spain to continue working with the mission, OM, for a year. Because one of the sort of aims of the ship was to not only evangelize South America, but because there's such a big Christian population there, and they're so willing to get involved in mission work, the ship's, and it still is quite, we got quite involved in training young people, getting involved in teams, and then taking them to Europe, where there's a big mission need, because they speak the same language, to get involved in mission work in Spain and Portugal and European countries. So we worked a year in Spain to help coordinate that. And then we had another difficult time, actually that first year in Spain. And again, I'll just go back to what I was saying before, this is how God can use difficult situations or where things seem to go wrong to work things out His way. And I think, if someone asks, well, how do you sort of get into mission work, or how do you know what God wants you to do? I think the first thing, there's no formulas, there's no it's this way and it's that way. I think the main thing is that there needs to be a heart commitment, from us to want to be where He wants us to be and to be doing what He wants us to be doing. I think when we get to that point, and many times He has to take us through a lot of difficult situations to get us to that point, then it's just a matter of following Him wherever He leads us. Getting involved with what He gives us to do where we are, and then as He opens doors up and puts burdens on our heart, follow through on that. And God often uses, and I think also it's important to cultivate our understanding of the world, to get a vision, get informed. That's why I'll be sharing later about the opportunity to get involved in short-term work. It's so positive. And that helps in understanding, just where God could perhaps want us to be getting involved. Many times it's for not just knowing and not being informed. But God also uses circumstances. It's not just, God suddenly gives a, it can happen, but not very few cases it's where God suddenly gives you a call out of the blue and says, well, there. Many times it's once you get moving with that initial commitment to follow Him wherever, then He uses even circumstances. And many times the circumstances can be difficult circumstances. The first year we had in Spain, and we never considered, even thought about leaving OM. We're going to continue working with Operation Mobilization. And yet, that first year, everything went wrong. The team was, I was supposed to be the leader of the team. It was a complete mess. I had a very serious car accident with a couple of other people, which put me in bed for quite a few months with a fractured spine. learning of the language and the culture. The culture is very different in Spain from South America, as I'll be sharing later. And found it very difficult to adjust to that. And things were just going wrong and wrong and wrong and worse. And so eventually since Manoli had already been about 8 years in mission work, and that was going into the fourth year or the fifth year, we decided to just take a short time off, go up into the northwest where her family is, and take a month or so rest and really seek God's will and find out what He wanted us to do long term. Seems like the things weren't working out the way we had planned. And so we went there, and God began to lay a burden on our heart for that particular area. And there's a reason for that. I think Manoli will be sharing about that later, that we didn't realize what was happening at that time. But God laid a burden on our heart for that area. There's a big need there. And so we started working. We started opening up as I'll be sharing later again, a little coffee shop, a little coffee house, which again we were just going to work with for a little while. But we ended up staying, working in that area, which is called Galicia, for 12 years. We've been there now 12 years. And every time that we thought, well, you know, this is, you know, we've been here long enough, we should be going somewhere else, you know, God just continues to lay that burden on, you know, just that knowing that, you know, where we are at the moment and what we're doing is what God wants us to be doing. And I think that also is important in missionary work or Christian work. I mean, there needs to be also that coming to the point. Perhaps it doesn't come at the beginning. I think in my case it came quite after some time, but that way you just know, we have that burden, that this is where God wants you to be. And if you go anywhere else, you just know that you're going to be in the wrong place. And until God changes that burden, you just have to keep on doing what God wants you to do, where He's put you to do. And God does give us those call, those that burden, and that confirming of what He wants us to be doing. So that, just very briefly, is where I come from, and why I'm there in Galicia. And just think the four important things there, just sort of looking back, I'm sure there's a lot more, would be just that initial commitment to follow Jesus, and then to follow Him. Having been able to have my vision broadened, be informed just to see the needs of the world needs, gave me a commitment to world mission, just through different circumstances, and many circumstances actually. You can look back and just look back and see how God used many circumstances just to get you where you actually are, to be doing what you're doing. And that the burden and that confirming that God puts on your heart. So I'll just let Manoli now share just a little bit how she got to be there.
I was also brought up in a Christian home. My parents came to know the Lord just a bit before, my father just a bit before he got married. He was a Catholic, and my mother also. I mean, she had been in a nun's school until she was 18. But they got converted through the work of English missionaries. This was in the northwest of Spain. And my mother actually got baptized when she was pregnant with me. So I got baptized twice. I went to Sunday school, you know, and so I experienced what church life was all about. And yet, you know, I thought of it as a religion. Everyone in Spain, as you probably know, is a Catholic. And going to school, we had to study the Catholic religion like everyone else. I had to go to the Mass. We had to do the rosary. I remember one day we were living in the south of Spain, and on Saturday mornings we would go through the whole rosary prayers. I don't know if you are familiar with that, but it's quite a long thing, many said prayers. And I knew the prayers because we had to memorize it all, you know. I had to learn the catechism and all that. But I didn't know the sequence of the prayers, how they all went together, even though I heard it many times. But we didn't do it at home, you see. And my teacher said, it's your turn to do it, to lead the rosary. And I said, look, I don't know how to do it. I know the prayers, but I don't know sequence. And she said, you have to do it. So I got in front of the class, supposed to be leading them in this, and I made a mess of it. So after a few minutes, she said, you can sit down. But to me, you know, to be a Protestant, because that's what they called us, it was just to have a different religion. And in some ways, I wished that I was a Catholic like everyone else, you know, because it was a big thing to be different. And if they knew, they would always be picking on you and things like that. Anyway, it was later on when we moved to the north and I was about 13 that I had contact with an OM team. They stayed in our place, and they would come at different times to help in the church, reaching out into the smaller towns and villages. And it was through this team that I started questioning, you know, whether there wasn't any more than just a religion, you know, that Christianity wasn't, there was something more in it, you know. And I saw the faith of these young people from different countries. And then I was reading a book that was presenting the gospel, you know, it was like a storybook. It was called The Captain. And it was talking about heaven, and I had always been very afraid of dying. And so I decided to commit my life to Christ, you know, and to pray for him to come into my life. And I remember even signing the book. And, you know, from then on, I got very involved with OM, mainly in the summertime when we would have holidays. I went to the campaigns in different parts of Spain, and we would just be camping out, no tent, just a sleeping bag, and we would go to different villages. We would be covering 4 or 5 in a day, so we would be moving all the time. This was, we were doing this for over 2 months in the summertime. And I really enjoyed that, you know, that in a way simple life and distributing God's word, talking to people. We would be working 8 or 9 hours of door visitation. And many times we had encounters with the priests, you know, they didn't want us. Sometimes we would end up in the police, you know, and most times they would just confiscate the books, but we would get more books and go on to the next place. So, because there wasn't religious freedom in Spain at that time. I mean, they were talking about it and they said we were all equal, it didn't matter what your ideology was. But in practice, you know, the priest was ruling, especially in the smaller places. Anyway, later on, I liked studying very much. I got into the university. I had a grant, and I was really happy. And yet, when I went, I was going to do philosophy and arts. Didn't like the philosophy that much, but I liked the arts, so you had to do it together. So that's how I got to do that. I found it very difficult, you know, to be there. I was away from home. This was in a town about, I guess, 200 kilometers from us. And there were about 15,000 students, and I was the only Christian, evangelical Christian. So, you know, studying philosophy, and you start from the point that there is no God, you know. And everything was very, very empty. And, you know, that was a very, very difficult year. And at the end of that time, I could see that if I was going to continue, I would lose my faith, you know. And I knew that my faith was the most precious thing I had, you know. And I was praying about it, and I felt, you know, that maybe I should join OM for 1 year program. I had only been joining them for the summer crusades. And I was talking to my father, and my father prayed about it. And, you know, at the end he said, you know, it was a big thing because I was leaving everything, my studies, what I had been looking forward, and my friends were really happy about that. And so I joined OM, for the year, my father had said, if this is what you feel is God's will, you can do it. So that's what I did. But I had joined just for a year, and I was working in the south of Spain with a team. And, you know, in that year, my faith really grew, because you were not only sharing your faith, distributing Christian literature, but we also had Bible studies, and every day we would have a time together of in the Word and praying and sharing. And that was really good. You know, I wasn't used to be able to share about my problems and my faith. You know, you didn't just do that in church. You just sat there and listened to the message. Even today it's like that. There's not much sharing in the church. So that really helped me to grow, you know, in my faith. But I was always thinking, well, 1 year and I go back to studying. But when I went to the conference, to the general conference, for those in the year program, this was after 9 months, you know, I didn't have any peace in my life. And I just wonder why, you know, I was just so restless, and I just wasn't at peace, you know. And I heard all these different challenges of the different countries, you know, and how we were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and this was for every Christian, you know. And I remember sitting in a meeting, and this was almost at the end of the conference, and someone said, why don't you just give everything to the Lord, you know, and just be willing to go wherever He wants you to go. And I said to the Lord, you know, I said, Lord, I want to have peace more than anything. I said, you know, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go, even if it means to go into India. And that was it, you know. From then on, I had peace, you know. But I didn't want to tell this to anyone. I mean, you know, you're from Spain and going to India. I mean, who is going to support you and all that, you know. But I had it very clear. I mean, I didn't want to go, you see. So if God wanted me to go, He would have to work it all out. And you know, that was the way it went. Somebody heard that I had been, you know, I was willing to go to India. So actually it was the director of OM. This, I don't know if you heard of him, George Ferwer. And I don't know how he heard, but he came to me. And he said, you know, if you want to go to India, we'll take you, you know. And, you know, but I would still have to see the money come in, you know, and we weren't supposed to be telling anyone, just to pray about it. So I prayed about it, and I wasn't going to tell anyone. I just told the church that I was praying about going to India with OM for the two-year program that they had there. And, you know, the money just started coming in. And this is very unusual, because people in Spain, in the church, they're not used to supporting anyone. You know, they're used to having missionaries, but not really supporting one of their own to go. And yet my church decided to, you know, to support me. And so I had to go, you know. And I was for a few months on the ship, on the Logos. And we were around India. And I could see what it was going to be like, and I got scared, really. You know, the food was so different, it was so hot, so dusty, you know, the people were, I mean, dressing up, everything was so strange. And yet we would be in the port, but you could always go back to the ship, and the ship was like the life we were used to, you know. Everything was nice and clean, and there wasn't much noise, you know. It was good. But I knew in my heart that God wanted me to go to India, you know. So when I was approached and asked, do you still want to go? And I said, you know, yes. So I went. And yet I was really afraid. I remember the first day in India, and I had this very close friend. She was from Mexico. She was older than me and, you know, more mature and experienced. So she was really trying to help me to get, you know, over this big decision and new country and everything. And the same day, she was told she was going to Bombay and I was going to New Delhi, and we were in Madras. And so I just thought, this is it, you know, I just saw it as the end of everything. It just seemed such a big thing. And, you know, it was during that trip going to New Delhi that I had a very good experience with God, you know, to the point where I just knew that He was real. You know, before it was a bit of like a theory, you know, something that I had accepted and I believed, you know, and from what I knew, it was the most important thing, you know, I wasn't convinced by anything else. But yet it was going to, in that trip, and like Trevor was saying, everything went wrong, you know. The van would break down two or three times every day. Then you would be stuck in the middle of a village, and you couldn't stay in because it was so hot that it was like an oven, you know, inside the van. So you got out, and immediately you would have 100 people around you, you know, trying to talk to you, to pinching you, you know, pulling your hair. This was in the villages, you know, because you were really strange and different, you know. And then the food we had to eat, it was, you know, all yellow and so hot. I didn't know if I was eating fish or chicken or vegetables, you know. It was just so hot, and I thought, how am I going to survive, you know, for 1 year even, you know, here. And yet, you know, when I had this experience, it was early in the morning and I wasn't even reading the Bible, you know, but somehow God, you know, was there with me, and I just felt, you know, that He was there. And, you know, it was like He was saying, it's going to be okay, you know, you're not counting on me, I'm here, you know. It was such an experience, you know, that nothing else mattered, you know. I had such a tremendous time in India. I mean, I never wanted to leave the country, you know. And, I mean, I was eating as hot as the Indians, you know, and loving it. And I never got sick, not once, you know, and I was eating and drinking the water. And, you know, just plain water from the tap. It wasn't even boiled, you know, and I never once got sick. And I was in India for over 15 months. I mean, that was all, I mean, without including the time on the ship. And I just never wanted to leave. I mean, it was so happy. And we were living very simply, sleeping on the floor, you know, eating with our hands. You most of the time were with Indian people. And, you know, I didn't miss anything. I got more of a culture shock going back to Spain than I had in India, you know. Seeing how materialistic people really were, and I had forgotten about it. And, you know, how just people were thinking about things and not so much about people. Anyway, before I left, I was supposed to be going overland in a van that was, you know, crossing all the countries. That was the way we also went. And, you know, my team wanted me to stay and just play the guitar because we were supposed to be singing in a campaign in the local town where we were. And I asked for permission to stay, and I said, would you fly me back? And, I mean, I thought that was impossible because, you know, they're always short of money, you know, and they wouldn't want to fly you back. And yet they said yes, I could stay. So it was very shocking to me to hear that. And, you know, the day when I was leaving from Bombay to fly back to London and then on to Spain, we heard of this van that we were supposed to be in that had just had an accident. And actually 4 people had died, and the other 2 were very seriously injured. And I knew then, you know, that God really meant business. I mean, I wasn't just to go back and, like I was thinking, you know, continue with my life, my